So we're going to be in John chapter 3 or John chapter 4 to start, and as well as Romans 12. Those are our two main passages. So if you want to kind of prepare for that as we move around those two passages. But let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the worship. And Lord, as we're talking about worship, we realize that worship is just bringing worth to you. And we can do it through song, through prayer, through all kinds of things as we're going to see this morning. But I pray that as we look at this, that you would speak to each of our hearts and help us to be attentive to your Holy Spirit's voice to us. In Christ's name, amen. Well, this summer, obviously, was a unique summer with sabbatical, and I had actually some of the best times of worship that I've ever had. Some of them was actually by myself when I was at the beach for a week and just being there and just, you know, you guys all know the Oregon coast, just the beauty of the waves and sunsets and stuff. And I had some great times with Mel as we kayaked a number of different places, as well as we were able to hike in the Rockies and some other places. And just as we were doing those things, you know, we didn't start singing out loud. They wouldn't want to hear us. But, you know, we talked about God's amazing creation. And I know in my heart, and I'm sure in Mel's too, just of worshiping God for who he is and his amazing creation. You know, just, I think that we know from God's word, that's one of the ways he shows us himself. And just those great times of worship. I had a number of bike rides. I continue to ride my bike. I run into one, not literally run into you, but I see some of you once in a while. And some of you are nice enough not to honk at me too loud. Although I think Scott did the other day. But anyway, I'll forgive him. No. But as I ride my bike and listen to, you know, my iPod and just sing along and praise God in that. You know, I was able to, obviously I came to church here a number of times during the summer, but I was able to visit a few other churches as well as Mel's family's church up in Canada that we often go to. And as I went to each different church, each one had a different style of worship. Not of music, but also of worship. And they had different kinds of order to their service. And yet each time, each one, I was able to enter into worship, even though it was different. That's often what we think about when we think about worship. But you know, I was also able to worship the Lord this summer when I was able to forgive someone who kind of hurt me. And you know, the Lord spoke and said, you just need to forgive them. And I also was able to worship God when I chose not to give in to a temptation that is often entraps me. And I remember there was a number of times that temptation, I said no. And there was another time I remember worshiping God as I asked my wife for forgiveness because of the way that I treated her at a particular time, probably more than once. But each of those times were different. True worship looks different at different times. It's not just about singing a song. It's not just about coming on Sunday mornings, although that is part of it, and that's an important part, I believe. But as we're going to see this morning, something you need to know is that worship is what we were created for. It's part of who we are. It's part of what we are to be about. We are created to display, to acknowledge, to show God's glory. To acknowledge God for who he is. As a church, as God's people, we are called to true worship. It's interesting, you might think, true worship? Well, what do you mean? Well, you're going to see here this morning, hopefully, a picture of true worship. See, Jesus talks about worship, and he actually talks about what true worship is. Many of you, some of you may know the story from John 4 we're going to look at, where he met a woman. A Samaritan woman, a woman in Samaria. And if you want to know the whole story, there's lots of different kind of facets of that story. You can look at John 4 and read it this week. But this morning we're going to focus on their discussion on worship. And it's in John 4, 19 through 24. So I hope you have your Bibles. If not, I mean, you can certainly follow on the screen. But look at verses 19 through 24. It says this, "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. I mean, you Samaritans worship really what you don't know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." And so we see this woman, this Samaritan woman, starts this discussion on worship. And Jesus is more than willing to discuss worship with her. But first of all, Jesus kind of talks to her, and really what he shares with us this morning as well, what he wants us to know is this, that it matters how you worship. There's a number of things we're going to see about worship. One of them, it matters how you worship. He says twice, did you catch it? Twice he says that we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. Let's look actually at the second one first. In truth. You see, what you think, what you believe about God is extremely important. As a matter of fact, if you have an incorrect view of God, if you have an incomplete view of God, you cannot truly worship Him the way that He calls you to worship. You can't worship Him completely. It's interesting, if you've been Christians for a while, you may notice that your worship changes from maybe when you were first a believer till maybe now. Why? Lots of reasons. One of them is because you know God more completely. You know who He is, what He expects, who He revealed Himself. Worship must include the revelation of who God is, of knowing Him. And this is why we have, one of the reasons why we have messages on Sunday morning. To show, to teach of who God is. This is why we have a class like Sword and Shield. This is why we have home groups. This is why some of the women said, you know what, we need to have a women's Bible study. Because in different ways, we know everybody can't just do one. But to come and to learn who God is, to go deeper into who God is. We must worship God in His truth. You see, worship in many religions is mindless. I don't know if you look at other religions, it's in a sense, it's not, you don't have to think about it. It's simply the actions that you do. Okay, actions are important, but without your heart and mind into it, it doesn't really matter. You see, worship is a response to the truth of who God is, the truth and the person of God. And we do this on Sunday mornings when we sing songs. Why do we sing songs? Well, because these songs, we pick them out. Jeff doesn't just go on the internet and go, here's a song. He looks at the words. Are these words that are true about God? And we try to find songs that are true, that are biblical. That's why we pray. As we pray, we proclaim who God is. That's why we have messages. We worship God in truth. You see, the Samaritans were worshiping God, but what they did, you may not know this, Samaritans didn't believe in much of the Old Testament. And so, if you're missing much of the Old Testament, you're missing much of who God is and His revelation, His revealing of who He is and how He wanted them to worship. You know, people do that today. There are people all around who say that they are worshiping God. And they have all kinds of views about who God is. Some people see God as a cosmic force. You know, the new Star Wars movies coming out. I love Star Wars. But, you know, they kind of actually have their view of God as a force. Others see Him as love. God is just love. Or they see God as just their friend. Others see God as the judge who's going to judge all things. And you know what? There's truth. There's some truth in each one of those if you look at it based on God's word. But you know what? We can't truly worship God if we don't have a complete view of who God is, a complete picture of who God is. Jesus knew this, and that's why, you know, He prayed for you. He's still praying for you, the Bible says. But He prayed, it's called His priestly prayer in John 17. One of the prayers He prayed, He said this to the Father, sanctify them, talking to His church, about His church, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So you want to know what truth is? Jesus says this right here. That's where we learn ultimate truth of who God is. We must hold to all the truth and the character of God together. You see, God is far. He is far away, but He's also nearby. He's imminent. God is loving, but He's also holy. God is forgiving. He's a forgiving God, but He's also a just God. And He is our Father. He is like a father to us. But the Bible also says He is like a friend. And so we must see God for who he is, to be able to worship him in truth. Not what we want him to be like, not just what maybe you thought God was like, or maybe what you heard your parents say God was like, although maybe your parents, you know, maybe they knew, but maybe they didn't. But rather see who he truly is based on God's word. That's why it's so important for you personally to study God's word, to read it, to do it together in a group. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He doesn't say just worship God in truth. He also says we must worship him in spirit. In spirit. See, it's not just about our outer actions or even what we believe. It's not just about our head or truth. It's also about our heart, about our soul, about our spirit. Interesting. Outward, think about this. A lot of you this morning, you prayed. You sang some songs. Maybe even you gave some money as a tithe. Outward performances like praying or singing or giving may or may not be worship. You could be sitting there right next to your spouse or friend or child or parent, and one of you could be worshiping. You can both be singing. You can both maybe gave the same amount. You could both have prayed the same kind of prayer. One of you worshiped and the other didn't. What do I mean? Well, listen to what Charles Spurgeon says. This is about singing, but it applies to everything. He says, God does not regard our voice. He hears our hearts. And if our hearts do not sing, we have not sung at all. So worship isn't just about the outward things that you do. Authentic worship happens at the core of our being, of our spirit, of who we are connecting with God and acknowledging who he is. It's simply showing God the love and the relationship that we have with him. John Huffman had been away from home for weeks on an overseas missions trip that he'd been on. And when he landed, he, of course, at most airports, he landed in the lobby that was a little ways away, not too far, but there was literally hundreds of people waiting for family and friends, right, to get off the plane. You probably all experienced that. And he shares this about that experience. He says, there was such a press of bodies, I knew I would not be able to pick out my children until I walked up to the ramp past the security and into the main open area, he says. He says, but my three-year-old somehow got past the big crowd and got toward the front. And all of a sudden, I saw her yelling, Daddy, Daddy, that's my daddy. Suddenly, she broke free from even the crowd, somehow got past the security guards, still yelling, Daddy, Daddy, that's my daddy, as she ran to me and jumped into my arms and started hugging and kissing me, he says. What a welcome! I never felt so loved and acknowledged in all my life. It was a wonderful, fulfilling moment that even today brings a warm and happy feeling. A child loving on her dad. You know, and how he experienced that. Maybe you've experienced a moment like that. You know, I really believe that's what God feels like when we acknowledge him, when we worship him in spirit and in truth. He's not just somebody sitting up there, you know, on his throne saying, yep, worship me. Good for you. Do it again. I think we have that view maybe of God. God is our Father and our friend. Matter of fact, it says God, do you know what it says in the Bible? God sings over us. If you are a follower of him, if you are loving him and worshiping, it says he sings over us. I'm assuming he created great voices. He probably has a good one. Whether he does not, he sings over us. It's pretty amazing. But we are to worship him in spirit, with who we are, because of all he's done for us. You know, that's why one of our goals, we've been talking about this as elders, and we have some of these goals. You'll be hearing them throughout, really, the next year or so. One of them, as we think about worship, is this, and we personalize it, that I will seek to lead a lifestyle of worship that is in spirit and in truth while living a sacrificial life. We're going to talk about the sacrificial life later. But as you think about this, is that a goal that you have for yourself? To seek to lead a lifestyle where you worship God in spirit and truth. But Jesus, as he talks to this Samaritan woman, also shows something else about true worship. And that is, you know, worship is not necessarily about where you worship, but who you worship. It's not so much where you worship, but who you worship. See, worship isn't a place, right? It's not about a place. The Jews said, you need to worship at the temple in Jerusalem. The Samaritans say, no, we have our own little mountain you need to worship at. Today, you know, some people think, well, you can only worship God at church. I mean, worship, you come on Sunday mornings, you worship God, you go and then you live the rest of your life, then you come back on Sunday morning and worship God. Other people say, well, I worship God best at the mountains. I don't come to church because, you know, churches are full of hypocrites anyway. So I worship God at the mountains or the beach. Yeah, you can worship God at the mountains and beach. Other people say, well, how can you worship at a school or in a warehouse? Or how do you worship in your home or in your car? Jesus gets to the heart of the issue of saying it's about being rightly related to the one that we worship. See, if this is key. If we worship in spirit and truth, worship happens as I recognize God for who he is, for who he is in all that I do. In all that I do and wherever I am. Maybe that's something that's totally new thought. Worship isn't just at a worship service. It's important. We're going to talk a little about that later. But if we worship in spirit and truth, worship happens as I recognize, give worth to God in all I do and wherever I am. See, Jesus is taking the thrust of worship off of ceremony, off of forms, off of places, and he's shifting it ultimately to the heart and saying it's not just about where you worship, but who you worship, and as we saw earlier, how you worship. Not just Sundays, but every day. You should be worshiping God every day, wherever you are. You see, I believe this is what Paul meant when he said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory, or we could, I think, substitute in there, worship of God. And he says later in Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And so we can worship God wherever we are. You know, as you've heard me say, I worship God as I ride my bike, or when I'm at work in my office at different times, at times drive my van as I listen to 104.5 Way FM, my favorite one, or 104.1 The Fish, or, and sometimes it's not even with music. Just as I talk to him and recognize who he is. You can do it when you're hiking on a trail. You can do it at your work. You can worship God at work if your heart and mind is on him at different times. You can enter into worship as you recognize God is with you in all that you do and wherever you are. It's something that you kind of, in a sense, have to train yourself to, but it's something that I believe God calls us to. And that's why we have another goal that we have as a church. And it's something that's sometimes hard. It's going to be hard to measure. This is probably one of the hardest. I always like measurable goals, but this one's going to be hard to measure because it's ultimately, it's you, right? Only you know, but it's a good goal. It says this, I will seek to enter into worship as I recognize God in all I do and wherever I am. That you recognize God's presence wherever you are and whatever you're doing. Whether it's good or bad, something good happens or bad. Worship is a vital part of who we are to be. I want to invite someone up here who I know in his life seeks to worship God, as well as he often helps lead us in worship in different ways here on Sunday morning. So I'm going to invite Mike. Where's Mike? Mike Noe, come on up. And I have him share. I have a couple questions for him and about worship and kind of just from his life, his perspective. So, Mike, the first question I have for you is, why is worship important to you?
Well, worship is different for everybody, I think, a little bit. And worship is really important to me because, you know, God made us to worship him. And through obedience and praise and thankfulness, I think, is a way to worship, and it's how I just try. I'm trying to get better.
And we are.
So that's why it's important to me, is to put God first, to recognize that I have what I have because it's been given to me, and then to thank him by trying to give back what he's given me.
Awesome. So what are some different ways that you worship? And like I said, we all worship differently, but what are some ways that really help you worship or that you do worship?
Yeah, so I like music a lot. So I'll listen to music, and there's so many songs that are just straight out of the Bible. And those, I really like those, and I really like the songs that kind of help facilitate that mood. I'll worship while I'm working on our RV. I'm listening, I'm listening to Casting Crowns or whatever, and, they'll say, "I'll praise you in the storm." My RV is a storm. But, I just thank God that I have it and that he's helping me and guiding me and I'm working through it. And, so that's a way, giving and, standing up here with my face hanging open playing guitar and trying to do well at it, because, he's given me a fundamental working knowledge of that instrument and I try to use it to play the right notes.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
And just obedience. We make a lot of choices, and sometimes you might say something to me and you might see my mind working, my face go blank. I'm doing, there's a series of calculations going on there that's like, what would honor God? What would be the best thing? And I don't always make the right decision, but I try to think about that. And, you say in spirit and, the fruits of the spirit, there's so many times I get angry, I lose my control, but I just try to remember, gentleness, kindness, self-control, love, all those things.
That's awesome. Thank you, Mark. Let's give him a hand. That's pretty brave. Everybody, each person that comes up, pretty brave people to come and share. Thank you, Mike. As Mike just shared, worship is something that we participate in. It's not something that we observe, right? And as we've seen, it's not just on Sunday mornings. It can happen in our lives Monday through Saturday as well. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul wanted the church to understand that worship is not just about songs or service or sanctuaries, but actually worship is sacrificial. He talks about sacrificial worship. So if you want, turn your Bibles to Romans 12. Romans 12. For some of you, this may be a familiar passage. For others, maybe not. But it's an important one, a passage about worship. Let's look at the first verse. We're going to look at 1 and 2. Let's look at verse 1. Therefore, Paul says, Romans 12, 1, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual, what? Act of worship. Yeah. Spiritual act of worship. Paul says that we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Now, something you need to know, maybe you do, is in the Old Testament, a huge part of their worship was sacrifices, right? Animal sacrifices. It says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And God put this kind of whole sacrificial system. So instead of us having to pay for our sin with our life, instead it was an animal that was sacrificed. And there was all kinds of, not just for sin, but then there were offerings of praise and so on. So this whole sacrificial system went on. But as we know now, Jesus came and became our perfect and final sacrifice. As John the Baptist said when he first saw Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God, right? Who takes away the sin of the world. So Jesus came to take away sin, to bring us into relationship with God. So now when we come to church, we don't have altars, okay? My job as a pastor/priest isn't to go into, sacrifice animals. But rather, we are still to bring an offering, though, a sacrifice. He says to bring ourselves. Interesting. Paul's saying, even though we don't offer animal sacrifices, we still have sacrificial worship. We are to be a living sacrifice for God. Notice, a living. Whew, thank you, Lord. A living, yes. A living sacrifice. But that's real. In other words, offering all that we are to God. I don't know. I think it'd be easier just to do a one-time thing. Okay, let's just get it over with. I'm in heaven. It's harder to do it on a daily basis, isn't it? To offer Paul says, offer your bodies. He's not just talking about our physical bodies, although that is part of who we are, right? Although we do a lot of bad things with our bodies sometimes. But you know what? He's talking about our whole person. All of who we are. Our very lives are to be worshiped to God. That's why it doesn't matter where you are to worship, right? We are to offer our life wherever we are as a sacrificial worship. One person said it this way, that it is, this idea of sacrificial worship is a wholehearted consecration, maybe you want to use the dedication of heart, mind, soul, will, words, and deeds to God. Or as Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. In other words, everything. As Mike just said, and I'll say it as well, we don't do this perfectly. I don't do this perfectly. None of us will, right? It's interesting, the sacrifices, you notice in the Old Testament, the sacrifices, they had to do it regularly, weekly, maybe even daily. Others, they had a year celebration, you know, the Day of Atonement. They came again and again to give their lives, and we are called to do that as well. That's part of our worship to Him, to continually, that's why we come to church on a weekly basis. Part of it is we come again to offer our lives to God, to offer our worship to God in a special way. And why do we do this? Why do we come with sacrificial worship? Why do we offer to God who we are? Paul says at the very beginning, he says it's because of God's mercies. Now, your version may say, the NIV says mercy, but the actual literal translation is mercies. It's a plural word. The mercies of God. It's the mercies of God that melt the heart, and where we are moved by the mercies of God to offer ourselves back to Him. You know what? When I think of all, I want you to put your own words here, because I think they can be most of yours. When you think of God's love, when you think of His mercy, when you think of all that He has done for you, when I think of all that He has given to me, when I think of all that He means to me, I want to worship Him. When I think of the mercies of God, I want to give Him all of me. This summer on June 7th, I had a time with God that was one of those offerings to God, a time of worship and offering God, kind of in a sense, all who I am. It was. Let me just share with you, because it's hard to explain. I actually wrote it in a journal this summer and kind of wrote a number, not every day, but most days. And this is what I wrote about that time with God. It says, I wrote this. After a great bike ride on the back roads of Tillamook and a time of great worship, I started my drive back to Twin Rocks. The song Heart Abandoned by Christian Stanfield came on my CD. The words and the music and the moment touched my heart and life. The words became mine as I wept and once again committed to a heart and life that is abandoned to God. The song was long and gave me time to truly worship and consider my desire, or rather the Holy Spirit's desire for me to abandon once again to love and to serve and to live for Christ. May this moment be one that I remember and... Sorry. I said I wasn't going to do this, but anyway. And continue to live out. It was a moment that hopefully all of us have at different times. And sometimes it happens at a camp, right? Or a retreat. Sometimes it happens when you're by yourself. We have lots of moments when God, when we realize and remember the amazing mercies and grace of God and who He's called us to be, of what He's done for us, to offer our lives back to Him. And as this song said, abandon all to Him. What was happening in my life that week that caused that to happen? You know, Paul gives us a spiritual goal to reach this spiritual worship. But he doesn't leave us there. How do we reach this goal of sacrificial worship? Look at verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, one of the keys to sacrificial worship is allowing God to transform us. Transformation is the opposite of complacency. It's the opposite of stagnation. It's the opposite of pride, which too many of us as believers have in our lives. The idea of transformation is not a one-time thing. Again, this word actually means to continue to be transformed. Not just when you receive Christ, not just one time, but to continue to allow him to transform you. And Paul gives us a two-step process of how this happens. First one, he says, don't conform. Don't conform to this world. As most of us know, it's not easy, is it? Conformity basically is kind of being wrapped up in all the things that are temporal, where all of our thoughts, our plans, our actions are based around just what's going on here, based upon kind of the selfish and sinful mindset of our world, and we can get trapped in that, depriving us of time and energy to actually spend it on things that matter, which is our relationship with God, of sacrificially living for Christ. You might wonder, well, what does this have to do with worship? Well, really everything. Because as Mike said, part of worship is obedience. And maybe you've heard me say this before. When you resist a sin, when you resist a temptation, that is one of the highest acts of worship. Does not feel like worship. Matter of fact, sometimes it feels like just the opposite. But when we choose to put God ahead of our own sinful desires or something that we know is not honoring to him, we have become a living sacrifice. So next time you resist a sin and you felt like, man, that was hard, and I feel like because I thought about it or because I almost did it, you just worship God in one of the highest ways you can. Paul says, if you want to sacrificially worship me, you got to be no longer conformed, but rather, he says, secondly, be renewed. The focus isn't on the outside of the cup. We focus on the outward stuff. I want to look good in front of you guys. Jesus said it's on the inside of the cup, because we can look good on the outside, but unless the inside is clean, it doesn't matter. Transformation, non-conformity to this world only happens, doesn't happen through trying harder, okay? It's not through self-help. It is through being renewed by God. The renewal. He says, the renewing of your mind. In other words, allow the Holy Spirit to renew your mind, your spirit. Paul says it this way in Philippians 4:8. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. Those are great words. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Put your heart, your mind on these kind of things. In other words, worship in truth. You know, the reality is when we think of worship, we, if you do a survey even of church people, we think the first thing of is church service. And that is a good thing. That's something I want to encourage. It's something special and important when we come together to worship together. And that's why our last goal in this area of worship is kind of for us as a, even though it's individual, it's for us as a church too. And it's this, it's on the screen. It says, I will worship by regularly attending worship service for the purpose, not just to come to church, but for the purpose of expressing worship to the Lord in prayer, songs of praise and thanks, and giving of an offering of hearing from God in the service. Psalm 95, 1 through 3 says this, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the King above all gods. This is just one short passage of literally hundreds of passages that challenge us, that call us as God's people to come together and to worship. It's important to come together regularly, not just for yourself, but for each other. When we see each other, we realize we're not alone. Wendy is with me worshiping God. Rick is here with me worshiping God. Amy is here worshiping God with me. Alexis and Peyton, Kim are here worshiping with me. I'm not alone. And there's something about that. If you just worship by yourself, there's great times, but there's something that says, let us come together. And we're not going to be here all the time, but the goal is regularly. This is a part of who I am because I am God's child and this is my church. And we're in it together to worship God with all we are, wherever we are. Why? To declare his mercies and his love. To be a person, to be a church that worships the way that God calls us to worship, we must understand true worship. Jesus said to worship me truly in true worship is to worship in spirit and in truth. And then he also says, Paul says, that it must be sacrificial worship, offering God all that we are, allowing him to transform us, to give all that we are once again to God. And this can happen together at a worship service, or it can happen wherever you are. I pray that we will experience more and more what it means to be a church that worships him. Let's pray. Father, may you continue to draw us closer to yourself to worship you. Thank you for the time this morning, even as we close with a song, to worship you in song and worship you together. But I pray as we leave that we would worship you tomorrow, tonight, later this week, as we acknowledge you throughout our week in so many different ways. So Lord, help us to be a people, a church that worships you. In Christ's name.